Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Last week we studied Psalm 146, the beginning of what we call the Hallel Psalms, the Psalms of Praise. You'll notice Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and finally 150 all begin and end with Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. I hope that you've begun your week that way. You've begun your day praising the name of the Lord. The topic of our devotion this day is three reasons why God's people should praise the Lord. Three reasons. Actually, you can really find three reasons right in verse 1. It's good to praise the Lord. It says in verse 1, notice, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It's good. It's the proper thing to do. When you consider everything that Jesus has done for you, Romans 12:1 reminds us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of the mercies that we have received, we are to yield ourselves, present ourselves a living sacrifice. Well, because of God's mercies, it's good for us to praise the Lord. So as we would be in prayer as God's people, both in our prayer service as well as throughout the week, let's include the element of praise. In 1 Timothy 2, it mentions so often the giving of thanks. The word giving of thanks, eucharisteo, is where we get the modern word Eucharist from. Giving of thanks, it's a reminder of what the Lord has done for us. You know, the Word of God tells us in Psalm 100, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Don't you think it's good? We ought to praise the Lord because it's good. But secondly, we ought to praise the Lord, verse 1, because it's pleasant. It's pleasant. It's a pleasant thing when God's people praise the name of the Lord. It is pleasant, the Word of God says. You see, praise encourages our hearts and it removes our cares. When we focus in on reasons why we should praise our Lord, which are found in verses 2 through the following of the end of the chapter, when we meditate upon the content of this psalm, as well as the entirety of the Scriptures, it's pleasant. It encourages us. It removes our cares. Like the hymn writer said, when you're downtrodden, count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, you won't have any critics. When you're stuck in a traffic jam, instead of complaining, instead of turning the radio on, just raise up the windows, turn up the air conditioner, and sing to your top of the top of your lungs praises unto the name of the Lord your God. No matter how bad you sing, I assure you it'll be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. And after all, people won't think you're crazy. You can see people walking down the mall nowadays, and you see their lips moving. Now, 15, 20 years ago, I would begin to wonder about their sobriety or their sanity. But nowadays, you don't think twice about it, because people have all kinds of things stuck in their ears. And you see them walking with their Walkmans, and they're right into the ear. And people today are moving their lips. So let's sing praises unto the Lord. It's good, number one. It's pleasant, but you know what? It's also comely. That's what it says at the end of verse 1. It's comely because it pleases the Lord when His people exemplify a thankful spirit. You know, in verses 2 through 6, we have one of the greatest reasons why we ought to praise the Lord and have a thankful spirit. You know, God's people have been restored. God's people have been restored. This psalm, in its context, looks when God's people returned from captivity in the days of Nehemiah. And notice how God's people, when they were allowed to come back, they praised God. They were restored together. It says in verse 2, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel." You know, we're seeing at an unprecedented rate individuals, the Jewish people, going back to their land. Fulfillment of prophecy, some would say, oh, it's the fulfillment of the kingdom promises. No. Israel is coming back to their land, but dear brethren, they're coming back still in unbelief. But the day will come when Israel will dwell in the land during the kingdom as God's people, and Jerusalem will be the capital of the world, and God's chosen people will be in the land in belief. And He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Jew and Gentile will be gathering together. You know, the majority in this room are not Jewish by ethnic origin. Isn't it wonderful that we who were once outcasts are made nigh by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We've been restored. That's why we can praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that we can read about the Abrahamic covenant and we can see that we've been grafted in to that blessing promise of Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Yes, the land and the seed applies to Israel, but the blessing is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's praise the Lord about the praiseworthy subject of our salvation. Notice, He heals the broken in heart. I'm so thankful that I can claim this verse as I seek to counsel God's people. It's God. It's His Holy Spirit. It's the ministry of the Lord to heal those that are broken in heart and binds up the wounds. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord binds up our wounds? Melody had a fall and she had her wounds bound up, as well as others in our congregation for one need or another. But isn't it wonderful that our Lord ministers to us? He cares for us. And He bows down to touch us in our deepest need. An omnipresent, omnipotent God. He knows about our needs and He can bound up our broken hearts. Binds up our wounds. He cares about you. Don't listen to the lie of the devil when he tells you that God doesn't care about what you're going through. Some of you sometimes feel discouraged, and perhaps some of you may feel, listening to this message, that no one cares. I have no one that I can really share my heart with. Yes, you have your Savior. He heals the broken in heart. Yes, it may take time. But you know, as you apply the balm of Gilead, as you apply the washing of the water of the Word, He'll begin to heal and bind up your wounds. We have a God who knows the number of the stars in heaven. Recent technology has demonstrated to us how infinite the number of stars are in the heavens. Even with the naked eyes, they are innumerable. With the Hubble, you can see millions of stars. And He tells the number of the stars, and He calls them by all their names. Don't you think He knows your name? He knows the names of your children. You who may be worried about the future of your children, you begin to wonder, what kind of world is my son or daughter going to face when they witness for Christ or proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I see the stage being set for the criminalization of Christianity in our nation today. And I have boys that are going into the ministry, and I ask myself, what are my boys going to face when they're my age in a paganized culture? But you know, I remember that there's a God who has called. Faithful is the one who has called, who also will do it. And we gave our children a long time ago over into the hands of the Lord, as many of you have. And I trust that you've done that. And He knows their names. He knows where they are. And the safest place to be is in the will of God. Let's not be as the prodigal son and go off into a far country. Great is our God and of great power. That's who we're going to pray to tonight. This isn't some type of a ritual that we have at Central Florida Bible Church. It's on our church calendar, so we do it because it's some type of a routine. We're bringing our special burdens to a God who is powerful, whose understanding is infinite. And you know, it isn't so important as that I know what God is doing and why He's doing it. It's that He knows what He's doing. His understanding is infinite. And I like verse 6. Oh, the Lord's restoration continues. It says, "The Lord lifteth up the meek, but conversely, He casts the wicked down to the ground." God's people have been restored, verses 2 through 6. There's another reason to praise the Lord in verses 7 through 11. It speaks about the fact of refreshment, not just restoration in verses 2 through 6, but refreshment. Notice how God has allowed the land to be refreshed. You know, the rain that we've just had here in Central Florida, most of us came in shaking off the rain from our coats and from our shirts or dresses and had umbrellas and came in. But isn't it wonderful when that rain comes down? You just see that steam coming up from the ground, from the day's heat. And we can be refreshed. Well, the land has been refreshed. And we can thank the Lord for that. Look at the Lord's care for the earth in verses 7 and 8. "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp with our God." Praise the Lord, He's even given us people that play the harp here at Central Florida Bible Church. We have the instruments, don't we? Praise the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord with everything we have, even our being. "Who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth." Boy, that's good timing, isn't it? "Who makes grass to grow upon the mountains." Now, I know that some of you are complaining about the grass growing so fast in your yard. But, you know, He makes the grass to grow. Right now, I'm involved in a resodding job. You ever hear of chinch bugs? Well, I'll tell you what, it's a battle, isn't it, ever since the fall. But notice what it says in verse 9. "He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man." Now, none of you men have pretty legs, I guarantee you. And mine aren't either. But that's not what that means. Okay? What it means is in the strength of a man, in the prowess, in the agility of a man. The Lord doesn't think that there's anything special about our abilities. We're not impressing God with our physical abilities. That's the meaning of verse 10, in case you're wondering. But the land has been refreshed. It goes on to say in verse 11, "The Lord, what does He take pleasure in? In them that reverence, that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy." Thank the Lord that we can fear Him, reverence Him, live our lives and dedicate ourselves towards serving Him and hope in His mercy. You know, there's another reason why we can praise the Lord, not only for restoration and the refreshment that we see in nature and in our own lives, but the Word of God has been revealed unto us. You look at verses, for instance, look at verse 15. Speaking about the Word of God, it says, He sendeth forth His commandment upon the earth. Isn't it wonderful that we can have a part in accomplishing that? People are used by God. God uses people. Isn't it wonderful that out of Central Florida Bible Church, we can send forth servants, missionaries, sending forth the commandment of the Word of God upon the earth. We ourselves need to be about the Master's business in the Great Commission. His Word runneth very swiftly. We can even have a part in proclaiming and catapulting the Word of God through our radio ministry and the sermonaudio.com ministry. Any way that we can get the Word of God out through the tract ministry, we can thank the Lord that not only has God people been restored and refreshed, but we can give the Word of God out. God's Word has been revealed. And you know, the gospel of the kingdom must go around the world, and the Lord shall establish His kingdom. His Word has been revealed. Look at verse 18. He sendeth out His Word and melteth them. You know, God's Word is like a hammer. It breaks the hardened heart. It melts the hardened sinner. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. Look at verse 20. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. You know, the Lord has shown His Word to Jacob. Verse 19. Many, many nations have rejected the Word of God. Thank the Lord that God's chosen people will say someday, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Most of you are well aware of the fact that we fight long and hard with the doctrine that God still has His chosen people, Israel. He has not laid them permanently aside. And He has shown His Word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel, and Israel will someday receive that Messiah. Other nations have not been called God's chosen people. Incidentally, for those of you that have a Life Application Bible, and I enjoy the Life Application Bible, but there's a note on verse 20 that comes dangerously close towards the doctrine of Israel being permanently laid aside. And any study Bible needs to be carefully, carefully studied. Beware of certain notes that sometimes may be unbiblical. God still has His chosen people. So, as we go and praise the name of the Lord, let's remember that it's good, it's pleasant, and it's comely to praise the Lord. Yes, He restores us, He refreshes us, and He reveals His Word to us. And we can be involved in that great, great blessing of encouraging others. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts and lives. Thank You, Lord, that we can be a thankful people and we can praise Your name. And we do so and desire to do so as we gather together in prayer. Now, Lord, bless our time together, and we'll give You the praise in what You'll accomplish as we praise Your name. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.